Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Touchline Podcast. We're doing episode 12 today. I'm Rich.
And I'm Brett.
Welcome to the show. See if this one maybe is a little shorter this week. RSL's on a bye week this week. We already talked a little bit about their upcoming opponent, Toronto FC, last pod. If you missed it, you can go back and listen to that. But we'll talk a little bit more about it today. We'll touch a little bit about the national team game that just finished today up against Denmark and how that was kind of sad. And maybe talk some expansion, talk the U23s that we have a few players on, and whatever else comes to mind. So, Brett, what do you got on Toronto that we didn't talk about?
I guess the only new thing that's come to light is everybody's headed out for national team duty. I mean, we've lost, you know, Louis Skill, and we found out earlier this week that Boyd Okawanu is headed out with the U23s. Sabo is going to be down hanging out with Costa Rica. Raimondo's off with United States. And I think Vasquez is off with Guatemala, and so that's five guys that were down, but in return, Toronto's down Bradley and Josie, as they're both off with the United States team. And so one of these games where you're pretty sure depth is what's being tested.
Yeah, when we recorded the pod last week, I wasn't sure what Clemson was going to do with the lineups and how, you know, many quote-unquote A-team players he was going to call in, but, you know, he called in a lot of them, Josie, Bradley, you know, I guess Raimondo, he's the de facto A-keeper right now because Howard's on his sabbatical and Brad Guzan, I guess, just had babies, so he's taking some time off.
Yeah, and you get the feeling from this, especially this go-around, that the entire purpose of the goalies that he has in camp was, one, he's got Raimondo there, who's kind of like that leader, but he's got a couple other guys that I think he's just wanting to get that U.S. soccer feel around him. And, you know, Raimondo got the start today, but I'd be shocked if he got the start come the next game, only because I think William Yarbrough will get that start just so he can have that cap, and Klinsmann now has him as a United States goalkeeper instead of a Mexico goalkeeper.
Well, I don't think the senses are friendly doesn't count, though, right?
It does. As long as you suit up for your team, a team, whatever team you chose, as soon as you get that first cap, then you're pretty much theirs. Hmm.
Yeah, everyone always celebrates when players get their first cap tie, or their first cap so that they're tied, especially these, the German-Americans or the Mexican-Americans and stuff. And, you know, everyone always celebrates like, hey, they can't switch now, but they still got to prove that they're worth, you know, being on the team, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, looking over this list of the roster that the U.S. had, I'm counting about nine guys that went to the World Cup. So this is a roster that is very new, and plus Klinsmann's been playing around with his formation, so we'll see where it goes with that one.
Yeah, let's finish talking about Toronto, and then we can talk about how the national team game went today. But Toronto, you know, they're missing those two. I saw today that Justin Morrow, he got a red card last game. They appealed it, and the appeal was denied, so he'll be out this game. That surprised me a little bit, since both of us agreed that we didn't think it was a red card, but I guess it didn't meet the appeal qualifications, I guess. And then it was interesting today on Twitter, some of the disciplinary actions that they did or didn't do, and some of the players tweeting out about how you know, they were surprised that Perry Kitchen stomped on somebody and, you know, didn't get a suspension. So all the players were kind of, you know, joking that that shows that it's okay to do that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw any of that, but.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of it. It's also MLS style again.
Yeah, you never know what the disciplinary committee, like, what they're going to say is violent conduct and give extra games for, and what they're just going to say, nah, that's cool. So, you know, Toronto also has a bunch of injuries they're dealing with. I know you wrote about it on the website on Keepy Uppy. And it was Caldwell. Do you remember the other? There was two more, yeah. I think, right?
Yeah, Caldwell, Bloom, and Xavaleta or something like that. Pretty sure that's how his name's pronounced.
All right. So, you know, their depth is definitely going to be tested, too. They're going to have Giovinco, who's going to, you know, he hasn't been there very long, so where, you know, a lot of their probably first-team players won't be available, and he hasn't had a lot of time to develop chemistry with anybody anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we'll see how he links up with people that he probably hasn't really played with except for practice. You know, he'll have Robbie Finley there to run with, so we'll get to see him again.
Good old Robbie.
Yeah, good old Robbie.
I believe he also has Colin Warner.
Yes. Ex-RSL man Colin Warner.
We populate this league.
I was really, you know, when Montreal took Warner from us in the expansion draft, I was bummed. I thought Warner was, you know, could turn into a pretty good player for us, but, you know, versus the alternatives that Montreal could have chosen, at the time I was like, well, you know, it could have been worse, right?
Yeah.
they can grab a boy or, I don't remember. There was a bunch of other players who I, you know, preferred keeping, but it is too bad, you know, we always seem to lose good players in the expansion draft. But now he's playing for Toronto, and sounds like he'll be a starter with Bradley out.
Yeah. We also, I don't think Denmar Phillips is going to be able to give it a go either, so I think we'll see a lot more of Mansali this game too.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Well, I guess it is what it is. He is definitely more familiar, I think, with the rest of the team than Phillips is, but, you know, Phillips did seem to bring some more dynamic attacking ability than Mansali has, which is strange because Mansali has a history of being a forward, so.
Yeah. If I remember right, it was Jason Christ that figured he could take him as a pretty much a wing inside the midfield and figured he could turn him into a left back.
Yeah, that's kind of a common thing. I mean, you have, like, they're trying to do that with Breck Shea right now down in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Mansali's doing it. Jordan Allen, I guess, you know, he's either playing a winger or a, you know, fullback. You know, they kind of just put him either place. So I think Mansali also plays that's the same position for the national team, right? For Gambia.
Gambia, yeah.
The Gambia, yeah. He plays fullback for them too, I believe. Thanks for saving me right there.
I knew it was something that started with a G. I was just throwing out random countries.
My mind only went blank. I've been playing too much trivia crack, I guess. Been had lots of other African countries in my head, couldn't come up with the Gambia. All right. So we're playing at home Sunday match. The MLS website seems to be, you know, advertising the game. I pulled it up a little while ago. They had Beckerman and Giovinco in top banner, you know, about Soccer Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Be on Fox Sports 1. Game starts at 5, so hopefully it'll be a little warmer. The weather should be really nice, I think.
I hope so.
So yeah, I'm excited to get it going, even though they gave us a bye week, so made all of our players be out of town.
Yeah, it sucks, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be nice because I don't believe any Nash teams are playing at the same time around the world, so we're pretty much the soccer going on because most of the other leagues will shut down during the time frame that FIFA's playing their national team schedule. We seem to be the only one that keeps playing.
Yeah. You know, and I've heard from people over in England now that they have MLS games on Sky Sports. It's kind of like their ESPN over there. The games show up, you know, kind of later in the evening on Saturday or on Sunday, right? And so, you know, a lot of them are kind of tuning into that because they don't have any, you know, English soccer going on that late. They can turn it on, and so a lot more people are tuning into MLS games now because it's the only thing on, and that's going to be even more the case this week where if you want to watch soccer on the weekend, it's going to have to be MLS because we're about the only teams playing.
Yeah. I remember reading somewhere that I was feeling bad for all of them over there. The very first MLS game that they were going to show on that channel was the Orlando City versus New York City FC when both of them were debuting, and they felt bad because that wasn't up to their style of soccer.
Yeah, you know, the feedback that seemed to come out of that was maybe may not have been the highest quality, but the atmosphere was really good, and you know, people were still impressed with, you know, how far I think MLS soccer has come.
Mm-hmm.
So probably even though it wasn't the best maybe advertisement, it still had some big names and a lot of hype and a good crowd, so I think it was still a pretty good advertisement for the league.
Yeah, I personally enjoyed the game.
But yeah, I mean, I had, you know, drama there at the end with Orlando trying to score, and they had the equalizer there near the end of the game, so yeah, it's good.
Could better be than, worse.
You know, if it would have been like the Portland RSL game for the first game.
Yeah, you could have had like Chicago on the TV or something.
Oh, yeah.
They're playing horrible soccer.
At least there would have been goals for the other team.
This is true.
Poor Chicago. Oh, man. They got the spirit of Chivas. So, you got a prediction for how Sunday's going to go?
You know, honestly, with Sunday, I say if you can get a tie, you count it as a win. And yeah, I think that's what we end up doing is just tying.
With all the players gone?
Yeah. I mean, we'll more than likely have, I want to say Lalo will probably get the start.
You think they'll start Lalo over at Atenella?
Well, just because he's been down in the Monarchs playing, so he's kind of had that in-game experience right now.
They'll give the start to Jeff.
I mean, Jeff's solid.
I mean, I think Lalo did a good job in that Monarchs game. He's seemed to have grown, like progressed a lot. You know, he's been with the team for, what, 3 years now, I think?
Ever since he was born or something like that.
He's been on the team forever, and he's finally going to get some games.
Yeah, he's our homegrown guy.
Yeah, I think they'll start Antonella. I bet it'll be Antonella. Then you'll have, Beltran, Olave, Schuler, Mansali, Beckerman, Mulholland, Javi. Then they'll probably go Garcia, Sandoval, Jaime. Did I say that? Jaime?
Yeah. Sabo will be your last one.
Sandoval, not Sabo. Garcia, Sandoval, and Jaime will be our forwards. That's my guess.
Yeah, and I'm actually kind of excited to see what Luke looks like inside that midfield if we'll get more possession.
The only, I guess the only other thing that maybe that Kassar could do is if he could, he'd play Jaime in the center where Sabo goes, and play Jordan Allen, start Jordan Allen instead outside. I could see him doing that.
Yeah. I'm kind of hoping that he brings in Salcedo and puts him in the 18 just due to the fact that we have, what, 5 forwards? And one's injured, one will be off on international, and you'll have 3 starting. If one gets hurt, you're going to have to change your formation. And if he's really committing to that 4-3-3, I hope he brings up the homegrown player and maybe considers giving him a little bit of time in the late in the game.
Yeah, you know, this actually, I mean, depending on how the other injuries go with Pekka, probably would be the only other one. Maybe Sturzer. Sturzer played 90 minutes for the Monarchs, so I would guess he's kind of back. But this is probably the perfect game for Salcedo to actually get minutes, right? Because he could come on as a sub. There's not a lot of other midfielders there to compete with right now. So depending on how the game's going, you could actually, you know, see Kassar bringing him in and giving him his first taste of first team minutes, which would be pretty amazing.
Yeah, and if I remember right, Salcedo did play for them in the Monarchs game.
Yep, he did.
So, and I like how they're actually down there running the same formations, and so when they do come up to RSL, it's that nice, clean, they can just instantly step right in.
Yeah. Excited to see, I mean, for the Monarchs playing, you know, their very first game together, pretty much. You know, I thought they did all right against Los Dos, the Galaxy 2 team. Even though it's scoreless draw, you know, they're only going to get better. And I thought, you know, they had you know, some good chances, and Lalo played really well. There's, you know, ups and downs, obviously, but you know, overall, I think that's not a bad result at all. And so it'll be good to see them, you know, kind of grow as they grow together as a team, right? So,
yeah, and the only bad thing I saw about that was they let that forward from LA, I want to say it was Lassiter, they let him get in, mess around with the defense too much, but he was kind of a selfish player, so he kind of shot himself in the foot, and that bailed the defense out. But, you know, at least they're down there getting minutes inside actual games instead of, you know, being on the practice field.
Yeah, and I think this will be taken a lot more seriously than the reserve matches. Even though they always said they took the reserve matches seriously, this actually, you can win a title with the Monarchs, and you know, there's USL playoffs and all that. And you know, the players that are on the Monarchs, they don't have RSL contracts. You know, they're trying to play their way into an RSL contract. So, you know, it's a big deal for them. So I think, you know, it'll be taken a lot more seriously than the old reserve matches were.
Yeah.
So anything else? Oh, I guess my prediction, I'm kind of with you. I think like a 1-1 score for the Toronto game, probably what we can hope for. I'd like a shutout, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
But at Tonella, get towards that Raimondo shutout record. He's got this.
Yeah, I guess it'll, well, I mean, it'll all depend on Giovinco and how he plays and if he can connect with his teammates. So, all right, let's talk quickly about the USA game. Try to keep this, I mean, we try to keep the pod kind of RSL-centered, but talk a little bit about the U.S. game. I followed it on the internet, you know, while it was happening, and then I, you know, came home and watched bits and pieces of it. You know, and it definitely seemed like the same old story that we've seen recently, where, you know, the national team's just under the gun most of the game. We got 2 goals from pretty much nothing.
Yeah.
Totally against the run of play.
Yeah. you know, the only thing I see wrong with this United States team is we seem to be... I'm trying to think of the... We have great talent everywhere. I mean, except for in that defense. Our defensive line, we can't figure out the talent there for some reason. We struggle to find guys who can start. And, you know, individually, we got guys with great talent back there like DeAndre Yeldon and Breck Shea, but for some reason they can't find that chemistry.
You know, this being a friendly, right, there were kind of a mix of the A team and then the younger players. You know, our defensive, our back four were Greg Garza, Orozco, John Brooks, and Timothy Chandler, right? And they, I don't know how much those guys have played together, number one. Number two, I wouldn't say that any of those guys are probably the first choice defense. Number three, a lot of them had pretty bad games. At least from the parts I saw, I thought Chandler was pretty bad. Brooks didn't have a great game. You know, lots of things, just like tracking runners. I thought even Zardes, you know, he was in the midfield. That very first goal, I don't have any idea what he was doing, but he lets, you know, he's just standing there in the center of the box, not standing by anybody, and the guy he probably should be standing next to gets a tap in. I'm not saying that that was his man or it wasn't his man, because I don't know how they had that set up, but, you know, there's just a lot of just watching, and they lose the ball or get burned, and then what? You know, I don't know. So it's a growing experience, right, because it's a friendly. They want to get experience and see if these guys are going to be able to make it. It wasn't a good game.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully Switzerland looks like a totally better game. You know, in these friendlies, if I was Bradley, maybe even against Switzerland, sit your Bradley and Josie and just find out what you actually have. Give the full 90 minutes to those new guys that are, you know, first time coming up or something, and just find out where they sit. Just figure it out. Let's see what they can do.
Yeah, I do think Klinsmann is... This might be obvious to some people. Other people probably defend him to their death, but, you know, I don't think that he's that great of a tactician necessarily, and I think a lot of times he doesn't put players in their best positions to succeed. And even when they're put in certain positions, I think the way he instructs them to either attack or defend probably isn't the best way to use their skills. So I think kind of from the start we're a little bit, you know, behind the eight ball, so to speak, if we aren't just even deploying our players where they should be.
Yeah.
I don't know if you agree with that, or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, even think back to the World Cup when we played Belgium. I mean, he didn't even start like Beckerman, and you could see how much missing a guy like Beckerman did to us. And so I think he knows how to find talent, but he doesn't know how to use talent. I know back when he first got the job, I mean, I didn't want it to happen, but I was more or less wishing that Jason Christ would have gotten the job, just because Jason knows how to use the most out of his talent. And like I told, you know, I've said it a few episodes back, if Jason Christ was running this team, imagine what he could do with that diamond formation, but he has full ability to every player that is ever represented by the United States. He wouldn't have to go out and find the money to sign them. He just has to call them up and they're there.
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely when Christ was here, I don't think he had nearly the experience he needed for the national team, and I'm interested to see how he does in NYCFC, how adaptable he is, and how he's able to, you know, kind of develop players there, and what he can do when he has you know, more resources than he had here, for sure. You know, he can get a David Villa or, Lampard or whoever. And, you know, how those get deployed. Because, you know, the thing with the national team manager is you don't get a lot of time with your players. And so I think a lot of times you have to be pretty adaptable to both your opponent and to who you have available, right? And I don't know if Kreis has that yet, but I think that he can develop that. I'm not in the camp where I think we should fire Klinsmann right now, but he's not getting a lot of brownie points right now with I think the way he's handling a lot of things. So we'll see how the Gold Cup goes, I think.
Yeah. Totally agree on that. And hopefully he's able to figure it out. And I mean, he does enough to keep his job. It's just he'll get you to the World Cup. Just when he gets you there, you kind of don't know what you're going to do there.
Well, it's not. I mean, everyone was saying he was going to be this big departure from Bob Bradley. You know, Bob Bradley was so, you know, kind of pragmatic, you know, defense first, and you know, grind out games. And so Klinsmann was supposed to bring this attacking, beautiful soccer, and that hasn't happened. And most of our games are still the same as they were with Bob Bradley. And you know, I do think Klinsmann has done a good job, at least from my perspective, of integrating all the different teams. You know, say the national team U23s, U20s, U18s. You know, trying to get that whole network set up. I think you know he's done a good job with that, and so maybe, and depending on how it goes, maybe he's just better suited for kind of that higher, you know, technical director role, and get someone else in to actually do the in-game coaching. So we'll see how the next game goes. See if Armando gets a turn to play. Any other comments you want to make on the game today?
No, just to me it seems like new face, the same story.
Yeah, all three goals were definitely preventable today by the U.S. So their defense. The second two center backs, not good.
Yeah.
You got to be closer to that runner there.
Yeah, but I think the only positive I saw is that the midfield is actually, I think he's figuring out who needs the midfield and how it's working out.
Yeah. So the U23s, they play Bosnia-Herzegovina. We'll have Luis Gil, see if he's the captain again. And then Okwuanu. He got called in as well. I don't know if he's going to play at all, but it'll be a great experience for him. So that'll be exciting to see. That's all I really got on that. They're getting ready for the Olympics. So.
Yep, time to start qualifying.
Yeah. For people who don't know, in the Olympics, you can only play players that are under 23, except I believe you get two spots. Two players can be over 23. So, you know, it's a big deal to try and get all of your players who are under 23, you know, ready to play in that type of competition. Last Olympics, we did not qualify, heartbreakingly. And so, you know, they're trying their best to not fail like that this time. So, So what now? What's the next topic you want to hit on?
How about Minnesota?
Minnesota.
Welcome to the club, boys.
Yeah, they're the Frozen Chosen up there. They're going to be the 23rd team. I don't look forward to playing December games. You know, if they ever host MLS Cup, that's not going to be awesome.
It kind of takes away our, like, home field advantage. Because I always, when the rules came out that, like, if you win, if you're the highest seed going into the MLS Cup, you get to host it. I was like, can you imagine making a team come into Sandy, Utah, and play in December? And now we got Minnesota that can one-up us.
Yeah, although, you know, there's a chance that Minnesota might end up being in the Western Conference anyway, so depending on who the next team is. If the next team is Miami, then Minnesota's probably coming over with us. But if the next team is Sacramento, then they're probably heading east.
Yeah, I mean, the only other ones I've ever heard mentioned is St. Louis, and I'm assuming St. Louis would probably join us in the West.
Yes, so you have St. Louis, San Antonio.
They'd join us in the West.
Trying to think who else. Those are about the only other two teams you hear.
You hear every once in a while rumblings about Vegas, but...
Oh, yeah, they really want a team.
I don't think it'll ever materialize.
That'd be pretty amazing to have a pro sports team down there. I think it'd be... I think a pro sports team should get down there eventually, but... Just be which team, right?
Yeah. We'll move Chicago there. Why not?
Chicago. So, yeah, Minnesota, their crest is pretty cool. They're called the Loons is their nickname. A loon is the state bird of Minnesota. So they got a loon bird on their crest, kind of an evil-looking one. If you haven't seen it, looks pretty sweet. Hopefully they get to keep it. Miguel Ibarra, who plays on the national team, unexpectedly got called up the last couple times by Klinsmann. He plays for Minnesota United. I have to assume they would keep him on as they would transition.
Mm-hmm.
There were two competing Minnesota groups. One was backed by the Vikings, the other one was backed by the actual Minnesota United people, and they chose the Minnesota United people instead of the Vikings group, which I think is good, so they'll get their own stadium rather than having to play in the new Vikings stadium.
Yeah, I think you can see kind of the headaches with that, especially with, like, Seattle and them having to share that stadium.
Yeah.
I kind of wish Seattle would just build their own stadium, but I don't think it'll ever happen as long as that stadium's open.
Yeah, they signed on for, what, another 10 years or something?
Yeah, and the field was only built, like, 6 years ago or something like that, so it ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, New England has a chance to finally get to get their own stadium to separate from the Revs, it sounds like. I don't think Seattle's probably going to be the last ones to separate from their turf football field.
Yeah. And I didn't even realize it until today. Rio Tinto is 10 years old this year.
Rio Tinto?
Yeah. Opened in 2005, if I remember right.
Oh.
No, the team started in 2005. It opened in 10.
Yeah.
So it was 5 years old.
No, Rio Tinto didn't open in 8? Or 9?
9. Here we go. So, yeah, it's like 5 years old. I didn't even realize it was that. It's been that long.
It's one of those things where it seems like it's brand new, but it also seems like it's been there forever to me.
Yeah, and it... Personally, I think it's one of the... It's probably the best soccer-specific stadium in the league.
The only other one I've been... I've been to Seattle, that's not a soccer-specific stadium. I've been to L.A., their stadium is meh. So, out of those three, I like Rio Tinto the best for sure. I'd like to go see Sporting Park.
Mm-hmm.
They sound like they have a pretty good park there. I don't even know if anybody else. I mean, Portland's atmosphere seems awesome, but it's like an old baseball park that they renovated or something like that, so...
Do what you gotta do, I guess.
Yeah. I'm excited to see the new designs for, you know, like Atlanta Stadium or the new LA Stadium. That whenever they build that, if NYCFC ever gets a stadium. It's always fun to see, you know, how each park is a little different. You know, they get the architect gives its own little flair.
Yeah.
I guess the new San Jose Stadium is pretty wacky. I watched a little bit of that game, but I didn't get a really good feel for it on television.
Yeah, you're generally not looking at stadiums when you're watching soccer. There's no stop in the game.
Yeah, and the cameras generally don't pan around the stadium or anything. So
do you think, in your opinion, though, is that next team going to be Miami?
I think geographically Miami would be the best place to have the 24th team rather than Sacramento. I think Sacramento would succeed a lot better from the start than Miami would. I read an article in the Howler magazine. It's a soccer magazine. They put it out quarterly. But they did an article recently on one of the owners, or the partners, I guess, you know, with David Beckham. So there's Beckham, Simon Fuller, and then this other gentleman from Bolivia. He's the CEO of Sprint right now. Anyway, it was kind of profiling him, and it just seems like that ownership group just wants everything their own way. You know, they just, you know, they're big and powerful, and they don't want to have to, you know, work with I mean, if they want this piece of land, they feel like they should just get it, you know, and they shouldn't have to ask permission or anything like that. And, you know, the way the article is reading, it doesn't seem like Beckham is really attached to the city. I mean, he likes Miami and what it kind of represents, but it's not like he lives there or anything. So,
yeah,
I don't know how committed he is to making that succeed.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm wondering if the league is actually making a poor decision going back to Miami. Because they did have a team there once at one time. And I remember hearing stories about how they ran into a lot of issues because a lot of the youth teams wouldn't play in there when MLS was going on. So, you know, the youth soccer teams didn't really want to go attend the games and everything because of the heat and everything like that. And that, you know, season tickets was one of the lowest in the league, and no corporate sponsors wanted to jump on board. And when they left the league, they were Supporters Shield winners, so it's not like they were playing bad soccer or anything like that. And so I'm wondering if the league's going to make a poor decision if they go back to Miami.
Yeah, I mean, San Jose got moved to Houston, and then they got another team back, and they seem to be doing really well now, so it can, you know, go that way, but, you know, it could also go the other way. And Miami fans are notorious for being not super supportive. You know, they're really supportive while LeBron was there with the Heat and would attend games and stuff, but they, you know, leave early if their team was going to lose. You know, they end up winning the championship, and you know, Marlins games aren't really well attended, so it's hard to know. They certainly have the demographic for it.
Yeah. Well, and you kind of think with the different cultures and, you know, different mix of people from different countries and stuff that are in an area like Miami, that you'd think that soccer would probably be thriving. That would probably be one of the few teams that were still surviving today, but I guess it wasn't meant to be.
No. I definitely think if Sacramento goes in, at least for the first while, you know, they would be immensely successful. They have a huge following already just in the, you know, lower divisions, and they have, you know, the city backing them. They have land picked out for where they could build a stadium. You know, they're really set up to succeed from the start. So from that perspective, it would be awesome. Being so close to San Jose is kind of, you know, a bummer from the perspective of trying to grow MLS nationwide. You know, San Jose and Sacramento aren't super close. It's not like Provo and Salt Lake, but, you know, I mean, they're close enough. It's not like Minnesota where there's, you know, that's opening up kind of a new region, or Miami would be opening a new region. St. Louis would be opening a new region.
Yeah. So,
I guess we'll hear soon. They said today that the Atlanta will join in 17, and then either LA2, you know, LAFC,
LA Dos.
I already had LA, Los Dos. Either LAFC or Minnesota will join with Atlanta, depending on who's ready to go then, I guess.
My guess is probably Minnesota will go on 17, just because you kind of get the feeling from MLS and Don Garber specifically that Los Angeles FC is going to be his their baby. They want to do this the right way, and it's their like next big thing coming in.
Yeah, and they said that, you know, they won't have three expansion teams 1 year. We're only going to have a two-team expansion draft if we do that. So, so one team will have to wait till 18.
Yeah. But.
Anything else you want to talk about today?
Not that I can think of. I think we pretty much got it all.
Do you guys have you checked out the Clarendon Cobalt Daily that Matt Gash has been putting together? On
every
the RSL website?
Every once in a while. It's I like it. It's good.
Yeah, he does a good job. If you guys haven't checked it out, you should check it out. It's usually 10 or 15 minutes is all. He's not as long, not as long-winded as we are, but you know, every day he puts a 10 or 15-minute segment together about different things. I think yesterday he had an interview with Bill Manning. You know, he's had players on. I think today's had Jeff Antonella on it. I haven't listened to it yet. I'll listen to it tomorrow at work. But, yeah, you guys should check it out. He does a good job.
It's very well done.
So we aspire to be as well-spoken and put together as Matt Gashk.
Yeah, we want players, too.
That's right. Get on it.
We're not asking for much. Just give us a Raimondo or give us a Javi.
I'll work on getting Beckerman on.
Yeah. You got his phone number. Text him.
Yeah, speed dial. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. You can tweet at us any questions or comments you may have or leave them on the website. You can get at me at frisbee_rich.
And then I'm at A24Brett or at touchline_TBS.
Website's Torn by Sports, TORN, Torn by Sports, because sports tear us apart. And we're glad you guys listened. Hope to see you again next time.
Thanks.